بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال. Still in this last chapter in which miscellaneous aspects of deen are discussed. Yeah, Hazrat Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala anhu says that Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Yusalluna lakum, that your leaders perform the namazes for you. That is, they are the imams. And this is that always the Khalifa of the Muslims, he used to be the imam. And whoever is appointed in whichever place as the imam, he performs the namaz and he is your imam. فَإِنْ أَصْوَابُ فَلَكُمْ. And if he performs his namaz correctly, then you also get the reward. Of course, they also get the reward. وَإِنْ أَخْطَعُوا فَلَكُمْ وَعَلَيْهِمْ. And if they falter in the namaz, if they make a mistake, then still you get your full reward, and whatever errors they have committed, that will be upon them. They will be responsible for those errors. This hadith refers to quite a few things, that we should never give up namaz with jama'at. They were the excuse that the imam is not performing his namaz correctly, or that we are not happy with the imam. We should not give up our namaz. Namaz must be formed with jama'at, and it should be performed in the masjid all the time. And also it refers to that those people who are in the leadership position, they should be such that they can perform namaz and they should lead the namaz, and the general masses must follow them, so that, and namaz is the most important thing. In the time of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he had sent a decree to all the Muslim lands that were conquered. And in there he wrote, Inna ahamma umurikum indi as-salah. The most important matter according to me is namaz. Namaz must be established properly. Today we don't pay that full attention for namaz, even unfortunately those of us who are regular with namaz. If namaz becomes correct, then our whole deen will become correct. If our deen is corrected, our whole dunya will be corrected, our akhirat will also be corrected. So namaz is a very important aspect, and it should be performed with all its due requisites. In the time of, say, of Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, on one occasion when the guests were eating food, and the person who was appointed to give water to the people who wanted water, the glass fell from his hand. Maulana Muhammad Ilyas Rahmatullah Alayh looked up to him and told him that it looks like your namaz is still not correct. Had your namaz been correct, this glass should not have fallen from your hand. In other words, if namaz is correct, everything of our dunya also goes right, our akhirat also goes right. So namaz is most important. The hadith teaches us that people should not rebel against those who lead them in salah. Especially those who are in the leadership position, the Khalifa of the Muslims, when we follow him in namaz, then in all other matters also we should follow him. If the latter commit mistakes such as not fulfilling the sunnah requirements, even if they don't fulfill the sunnah requirements, still we should perform namaz behind them. People should continue following them in namaz, because namaz is valid even behind a brazen sinner. It comes clearly in the hadith that even if the imam is a person who commits sin openly, but he's the appointed imam, still perform namaz behind him. Don't give up namaz. If everyone for every small reason starts making his own namaz at home, then what will happen? There won't be any jamaat, and jamaat will become small. The jamaat has to be big, and everyone should make namaz there. However, if their mistakes entail actions which nullify salah, such as omission of a faraz, then one is not obligated to follow them. If the namaz has gone to that extent that even a faraz is left out, yes, then in that case a person has an excuse. Similarly, if they commit or enforce any such action which opposes the teachings of Islam, then they should not be obeyed in accordance to this, the hadith of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Creation cannot be obeyed by disobeying the Creator. If they bring some bid'at in their namaz, some extra things, etc., then of course we won't follow them. Because it comes clearly in the hadith that we cannot follow any creation of Allah Ta'ala, even one's parents, if they command us of things against Allah Ta'ala and against deen. Then their instruction is that we should not even obey our parents. So in that case then, the imam will not be followed. وعنه وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه قال كنتم خير أمة أخرجت للناس. Hazrat Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala anhu quotes the words of the Quran Sharif that you are the best of mankind and that you have been taken out for the benefit of mankind. In explaining this, Hazrat Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala anhu says, khairun nas lin nas. You are the best of people for people, that is for their sake. Ya'tuna bihim fi salasil fi a'naqihim. You bring them by with chains in their necks. In other words, they are captives. They are people who are captives of war, prisoners of war. Hatta yadkhulu fil Islam. So much so that finally they embrace and accept Islam. The explanation of this is that the jamaats for da'wat, for inviting people to Islam, went out everywhere in the world. In the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the time of the Khalifas also. And wherever they went, they invited them to Islam. And if those people accepted, well and good. They left their land to them, they left their wealth to them. But now you are Muslims, you rule and you govern as Islam commands, and be as Muslims. If they did not accept, they gave them a 3 days grace period. Consider your matter. After 3 days also, then they were given the choice that either you accept now Islam or you stay under us. Islam will rule. We will appoint the ruler here and you will live under them. You can follow your own religion, but you'll have to pay the jizya, the taxes, and you will stay under the Muslim ruler. And when they refused that also, then jihad was declared against them. And then in jihad, those who were taken as prisoners of war, they are not to be understood as we understand it in the Western term. But they were brought then to the Muslim lands, and then they were distributed amongst the Muslim homes, where we as slaves then. And then this was the reason for this was that they could see Islam from close proximity. They lived in the Muslim homes, not in jails, not in refugee camps, but in Muslim homes. And the command was, you feed them as you eat what you eat yourself. You give them to wear what you eat, what you wear yourself. You give them to sleep as you sleep. In other words, total equality. And then they saw the justice and fairness and the beauty of Islam. They saw namazes taking place. They saw honesty. They saw uprightness. They saw loyalty and faithfulness in the Muslims. And then they accepted Islam in this way. The verse means that the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is superior to other ummahs. The interpretation given here means that the superiority is on account of them bringing captives from the battlefields and then introducing them to Islam. They saw Islam from close range. This is a great virtue because on the one hand, these brave individuals forsake their homes to spread the message of Allah. If we read the history of Islam and how they went out, we get amazed. It is so that we think it's unimaginable how much they sacrificed to make people accept Islam to the world. And on the other hand, they became a means of saving many from the punishment of hellfire and entering them into paradise. That was the objective. How people can get saved from Jahannam and the tortures of Jahannam, and how they can get entered into the enjoyments and pleasure of Jannat. So in this way, by this da'wat of Islam, people got saved from Jahannam and entered Islam. Wa akhiru da'wana lillah.